Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I know it's not a popular take, but if you're ghosting somebody, it is an act of cowardice. I'm not saying you're a coward. I'm just saying that particular act is an act of cowardice.
It sounds like something a coward would do.
It's like when you're a woman and it may be that time of month and your significant other is like, I'm not saying you're being a bee. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying you're being a little bitchy.
Or you're not a bee, but you're being a bee.
Yes.
Are two totally different things.
Exactly.
Right? Because all you have to do when things aren't feeling right is, we've said this before, send a one-line text saying, hey, thanks for a great night, just not vibing in whatever way. 9 out of 10 times, you're a coward if you can't even just do that, right? You leave them hanging, it's unfair, and I consider it mean. And Scarlett here is in this same situation. She was telling us it took her years to finally ask a guy out that she works with. She did. In her eyes, they had this great time, a really great night. He was a gentleman. He was tall. He checked all the boxes for her, right? He paid for dinner. They really hit it off. And at the end of the night, he gives her a little peck on the cheek, and then says, see you around, babe. See you. She didn't really know what that meant, but he has just gone, kind of ghosted her. So she hit us up to try to reach out to him to see if we can get some answers. And that's exactly what our show director, Tommy, did. Scarlett, you still there?
I'm here.
All right, so let's get some answers for you. You said you worked really hard for this date and you had a great time. And in looking back at it, there are no red flags for you at all that you can look at and say that there's no reason why this guy should just completely blow me off like this.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
All right, Thomas.
All right, so I texted Alex, and I explained second date update, and come to find out he has actually listened to The Burt Show before, and he is familiar with the segment.
Then he knows it's never good news if we're calling. The radio version of 60 Minutes. Knock it on your door.
I kicked it off by saying, so we've recently heard from one of our listeners, named Scarlett. She mentioned you guys went out recently. She seemed really excited about it and really thought you both had a great time. Is there a specific reason you haven't asked her out again?
Not just asked her out again, just completely blew her off.
Well, I didn't want to say that. I got to butter the biscuit a little. All right. And then Alex replied, yeah, we did go out and had a good time. And I say, glad to hear you enjoyed it too. But what was the reason you haven't asked her out again?
Ghosted her.
And he came up with the lamest excuse ever. I've just been really busy lately. You know how it is.
No, stop. I don't. No, I don't.
Hard stop, Mo. Take it over from here.
That's the one. Nobody is ever too busy to reach out to you to send a simple text message. It literally takes seconds. I don't think the busiest person on the planet does not have 30 seconds to send a text. You can literally do it while you're in the bathroom. You're never too busy to get back to somebody. It's just an excuse and it's late.
30 is even a long time. A text takes less than 10 seconds. I have been performing brain surgery straight for 36 hours.
Non-stop.
And that's the reason why I couldn't text you. That's the only reason right there.
Hate that.
So I could not go back and say that all to Alex. So I had to go back to my butter bowl. And I said, I can understand that. Since it's been almost 2 weeks, though, and Scarlett really enjoyed the date, she's wondering if you're still interested in a second date.
So busy consistently for 2 weeks. He must have been in a submarine.
Clearly had time to respond to Tommy, though.
He's in the Navy.
Right. Yeah. He responded, you know, it's just, I'm not sure if I'm ready for something serious right now.
Mm.
And I said, of course, but a second date isn't exactly something serious. I said, should I take this to mean you're not interested in her?
Duh.
Can you tell me why the sudden change between your first date and now? And he came back pretty quickly and said, nothing has changed. And I said, so you liked her enough to have a first date. You said you had a good time on that date. Nothing changed, but yet you don't want to go out with her. And he, and then this is when he broke it down. All right, I'll be honest with you. I only intended for there to be one date. I knew how much she liked me. Everyone knows.
Wow.
They all told me that I should go out with her at least once and that it would make her year.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
It's like, wow, somebody thinks highly of himself. And then he said, I agreed.
So I would just throw her a bone.
I went into it knowing she wasn't my type. And that I wasn't interested in her.
Wow.
I had an open mind, but ultimately, I was right. I know that sucks, but it's the truth. And I said, totally appreciate your honesty, a-hole.
No, that's if he was feeling pressure from all these people around him.
He's a grown-ass man.
No.
I know he is, but still, like, if everybody knows that this is her crush and she's crushing, and they keep peppering him and peppering him and peppering him about going out with her, and finally he's just like, all right, fine, we will go on one date. I mean, I'm disappointed, but I'm not, like, livid with him.
You usually can't fake that lack of enthusiasm, though, if he wasn't into it at all.
But she's blinded by the crush.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm sorry, Scarlett. How does that feel?
I know. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, I know it stings. I'm so sorry.
That's rotten to hear. I'm sorry. See, and all this could have been avoided if the dude just would have hit you with one text saying, hey, just wasn't really feeling it. Thank you for your time. We're done. It didn't have to do it. None of this had to happen.
I kind of feel for him in that moment because I've been there where you kind of leave each other on a text that doesn't necessarily need a response if you don't want to go on a second date. Because I've done that too, where it's just kind of like, had a good time. Thanks. Bye. And so he probably thought he was doing her a favor without having to be like, I'm rejecting you. I don't want to go out again.
I just don't understand the mindset of if you know someone is into you, you think that actually taking them out, knowing you're not into them, is actually going to be a good thing for them in the end. That makes it worse. Mm-hmm. That's not going to make it any better.
I'm sorry, Scarlett. You know, he was feeling pressured, so he went. His heart really was never even into it, so it's not like you lost something that was on the line because he was never really into it. And I'm sorry you had to find out this way. That hurts.
Yeah, that's it. Kind of makes me feel like a charity case.
Do you still work with this dude?
Well, no, not anymore. My last day was last week.
Okay, so we can put this. You can put this behind you. This has kind of been a little. It stings for sure. You never have to revisit it ever again.
Surround yourself with some good girlfriends. You definitely deserve to be sad and mad about it, and I highly endorse that you do. And then pick yourself up and realize that he was not the one. Those friends didn't really know what they were talking about, that they had good intentions. However, it didn't land the way that they thought it would. And just focus on somebody that's going to really like you for you.
And I also assure you that the universe is already working on putting you together with somebody that's right for you, Scarlett. Yeah. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh,
I don't like that.
I want to give one big.
Why would you do that, Kristen?
Why would I do what?
That whole thing.
Your name's on the show, bro.
Get it? The Burt Show.
All right, a lot of us have said, look, we know we have trauma as a child, right? But we don't have the audio or the video proof. Kristen does.
Man, I traumatized my child. I had the greatest mom fail of all time, and I need other moms to make me feel better about what a crappy mom I am.
So is this the trauma that happened to you or the one that you've already inflicted on your child that you realize now?
The one that I have inflicted on my own child.
Oh, okay.
My two-year-old has now been scarred courtesy of my lack of forethought, okay? I'm going to set the stage here and tell you what I did, and then I would like you to guess how my husband reacted, because he was there as well.
Okay.
And we were in a public space, and it was like a domino effect of emotions, because I knew I screwed up the minute it happened, right? I just, I wasn't thinking ahead. Had I thought ahead, I could have foreseen this, but I didn't, and it happened, and I had to deal with the aftermath, which also included my husband. So not only am I profusely apologizing to Jimmy, my two-year-old, but I'm also apologizing to my husband, and obviously he knows my heart. There was no ill intent. I wasn't trying to traumatize my child. It just accidentally happened with the giant wad of slime. All right, so here's what happened. We were at the Slumu Institute, which is like this slime institute, right? And it's just room after room of slime and like these sensory experiences. And in one room, they have like these giant plexiglass see-through windows. And they have these giant, what's those things? That
bow and arrow?
No, not a bow and arrow, but like.
Slingshot.
Yes.
Slingshot, okay.
They have these massive slingshots.
Fun.
Right? And so you put your slime in the slingshot and you hurl it at this window.
Oh,
and it just
fun.
Smacks. Yeah. And so the boys that I'm with, Jimmy is 2, and then Colton and Beckett are older. They're like 6 and 9, right? So. The older boys are having a blast with this slingshot, and their dad is standing behind the plexiglass, and they're just they're aiming for their dad and chucking the slime at him. So I thought, what a cool vantage point, and what a cool video. I'm holding Jimmy. I'm like, I'll go walk behind this plexiglass and film Colton hurling this giant ball of slime at us from this massive slingshot, okay? Not realizing that when that slime slapped into the glass, it would traumatize my son.
Because it was so loud, or he didn't realize it wasn't going to come and hit him in the face?
All right, so 855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. I need you to share your mom fails. Y'all, I can't begin to convey what an impressive shot Colton was. Because I am standing there with Jimmy. And then Colton's got that giant slingshot pulled back with the slime in it. And that thing comes and it hits right at our face. Right at mine and Jimmy's face. And when I tell you I felt a jolt from my 2-year-old, this is what it sounded like.
Ready? It's okay. Ready? Oh, wow.
Even after you're saying it's gonna be okay, Everything's gonna be fine, and then the trauma ensues.
I set that little poor thing. Oh my god, he flinched so hard. It scared me. Like I'm a grown ass woman, and it scared me. So he is, as you can hear, and it just escalated, screaming, bawling, crying. Bart has to walk outside of the venue to calm him down. And when I walk over to my husband, when I say I was more scared of the look he was giving me than when the slime hit the plexiglass, he basically, his eyes were saying, could you be any stupider? Like,
this is gonna
what
be a
made you think?
A core trust memory for him now.
He's like, what made you? He goes, what made you think that was a good idea?
I'd have done the same thing.
And I said,
I'd have been right there with you, Kristen. I'd have done the same thing.
No.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I have the video, and it is a hell of a shot. But I mean, and when you're the one that has inflicted the stress and pain on your kid, the amount of guilt you feel, oh my God, I wish I could had like a recorder, I wish I could have been able to go in reverse and rewind and do the whole thing over again. He was flipping traumatized.
I think what this is turning into is a round of bad parenting poker.
Do it.
Hey, Kathy.
Hello.
What made you a crappy parent that day?
We all went out to a dinner as a family, and I left my 9-year-old at the restaurant.
No.
She came out the door as we were driving away, and thank goodness for my childhood best friend. She was there to save the day.
I know one family that Christmas after Christmas left their kid at home alone and didn't even realize it till they were already on vacation.
Oh, wow.
I saw a restaurant. It's like, not a big deal.
Oh, man.
Prescott, good morning. You were on The Bert Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning. So I decided one day to play a prank on my husband. I used the emergency services kind of prank that you get on YouTube. So when the tone dropped, it was just my husband and I downstairs in the living room, and my 8-year-old showed up. He's super aware, very conscious, and he had a meltdown. I have a whole video on it on my TikTok, and he just lost his mind. He was crying. He was hyperventilating, and in order to continue to prank my husband, I had to let it play through. Oh, my God. The poor kid lost his mind that day.
We've all had this. Remember I told you about Hayden back in the day when we didn't realize he had, like, sensory issues? And it was Halloween, and we were we cut open a pumpkin, and he was scared to put his hand in it and take all the stuffing out of the inside. I'm like, come on, dude. Don't be scared of this. It's not going to happen to you. And he put his hand in there, and it was all, like, wet and slimy and stuff. He started puking all over the place.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Can I have 60 seconds of randomness before we get into the entertainment bus?
Sure enough.
This show has had a tremendous impact on my overall family over the course of the last 48 hours. We were talking about Lindsay Lohan the other day. And I said, what's the big deal about Lindsay Lohan? Why is she a celebrity? She's just a celebrity for being a celebrity. And you guys asked the question, you ever actually watch her movies? You ever seen Parent Trap? You ever see Mean Girls? To that, I said, no, I have not.
That's why you don't get it.
So my fiance said, I was listening to The Bert Show, and you've never seen Parent Trap, and you've never seen Mean Girls? Well, sit right here, mister.
A lovely Tiff impersonation. Yeah.
So we sat down and we watched Parent Trap the other night with the kids. Got about 3/4 of the way through it. Thumbs up.
Yep, it's good.
Yep.
Mean Girls is great.
It is fantastic.
So good.
Really, really great. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And second random thought, I don't know why my kid has put a song play. Whenever I'm in the car and I'm listening to my music, of course, my 15-year-old is going to tell me my music sucks. So he puts on this random playlist that he has put together himself. And it's got everything from Soulja Boy on there to rappers I don't even know. And in the middle of it is the most random song, the Pina Colada song.
If you like pina coladas,
from back in the day, right?
Yep.
The most random thing. And I have never paid attention to the lyrics on that song before, but it is total BS.
Well, what? You know what the story's about, right?
Well, I do now. Yeah. I mean, I never really listened to the words. Yeah. He is not happy in his relationship with her.
Yep.
So he answers a personal ad looking for a side piece.
Yep.
He doesn't know it, but she's doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
And when they meet up, right, and they're shocked, they just have a good laugh about it.
Uh-huh.
And then they move on in their happy relationships. What a load of crap.
That's what that song is about.
Yeah, because the personal ad is like, if you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. Like, that's the listing. That's the personal ad they're singing. And yeah, sure enough, he puts one she posts one and
it's one of the best story songs ever.
It's a load of crap. You tell me the two of them finally link up and they look at each other eye to eye because they're going on this date with the supposed side pieces. This is hilarious.
What a knee slapper.
Buzz on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I want a nice fruity beverage.
I know, right?
Sound good.
Britney Spears' tell-all book is delayed because of concerns from other celebrities. So The Sun reported that the book's publisher just received strongly worded legal letters from A-list celebs who fear what the pop icon has written. So the source also added that there's no movement on the book now. So all these legal letters that the publisher has gotten, they have now pressed pause on the release of this book.
Cassie is to Britney as Abby is to Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
So which A-list celebrities right now are freaking out, besides the obvious, Justin Timberlake? Which others are worried, like, oh my God, if she tells her side of the story, what she feels is her truth, I'm going to be screwed.
I don't even think it's just her side of the story. I mean, it could literally be anyone. Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan. She spent so many days partying with them.
Don't touch Lindsay Lohan anymore.
No, you don't. And Paris has really revamped her image a lot from the party girl days. And so I could see there being some stories that maybe they're worried about being in there that'll come out. Any of the Backstreet Boys, like anyone who used to run in those like pop circles, 98 Degrees, anyone who went on tour with her, that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's that she's going to be airing beef, except for maybe with Justin Timberlake telling her side of the story. I think it's more about, what is she going to, is she a loose cannon right now? Like, what story is she going to share thinking it's great for her memoir?
Did you say
it's
right
make
now?
Me look bad?
Is she a loose cannon right now?
That is what I said.
Is she being a loose cannon for two decades.
No, she has not.
She has.
No. Not for two decades? Mm-mm.
No, she's, but there is when you watch, because Cassie and I were looking at her Instagram just a couple days ago.
It's awful.
Okay. Hold back, Tommy.
I actually love Britney Spears. I love her music, and I joke a lot about her, but she looks terrible. She looks like a human cigarette butt.
Thomas Owen.
You mean just like she's like going through a really rough time or something?
I mean, yes. If you're going to be doing a video, at least do your makeup
no,
right.
That's her she aesthetic.
Looks like she looks like she's been crying for 10 hours. And she had a couple of cores and decided to dance.
No one gets mad at Avril Lavigne for her ringed raccoon eye. Let Britney live. Leave Britney alone. But, I mean, to be fair, Tommy is right. Her Instagram is... It's very much a vibe of gives no F's. Like, she does not care. There is no filter. She'll say anything. She'll call anyone out. She'll send, like, tape close-up pictures of her boobs and just post them on there, her lying naked on the beach. And that's not bad stuff. It's just not stuff that she's ever done before. And for a celeb to really just do this in such an unphotoshopped, raw way is kind of cool. But it also speaks to, like, this removal of this filter and maybe this mental barrier, that sort of self-preservation. So,
oh, she's done a 180 on her socials.
Yeah. So my fear is, well, not my fear. My thought is that the celebs are fearing the dirt that's going to come out, not because of the beef, but just because she doesn't care. She's sharing everything.
For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Clicky buzz.
The Bird Show.
Her ex-husband is marrying her bestie. Okay, that's one level. And now she doesn't want him talking to her at all. Okay, you got something going on in your life, you want to share it with The Bird Show, hit us up at thebirdshow.com. Kristen's got this one.
My name is Anna. My ex-husband and I had a really good relationship after our divorce. We became the best of friends. To avoid conflict, we always made sure that any partners that we were dating didn't have a problem with us getting along. None of them did. The girl that he was dating was amazing, and we all got along perfectly, even with my man. We were all able to hang out and have a great time. Then my ex and his girl broke up. My bestie was having problems with her man. And I had just mentioned for fun and hope that wouldn't it be great if my ex-husband and my best friend got together. Did she say she hoped for this? Then two of my closest besties could be together and we could all be happy. Finally, a couple of years later of making sure that I knew I was okay and excited for them, they decided to finally give it a try. I was beyond excited and could not wait for them to start this new chapter of their lives.
Wow, that's pretty big of her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He decided to move to Georgia to be with her. On his way down from Arizona, he called me because he was bored and we talked for hours. That's pretty much the last I heard from him. For 6 months now. Apparently... he's not allowed to talk to me. She sent me a text that said when they are married, her reaching out to me is them reaching out to me, and then I can just talk to her. I am very respectful of marriages and relationships. I have offered for us all to talk on the phone together as besties, but now I'm just not allowed to talk to him at all. I feel hurt and betrayed because I've been best friends with her for 18 years, and I've known him for 10. She's either not trusting me or not trusting him. They think I'm being unreasonable by just wanting to cut off a friendship. But why do I want to be friends with someone who doesn't trust me and someone who can just easily cut me off whenever he feels like it? I am usually the person who keeps quiet about things, but I felt like this was worth mentioning. What would you guys do? Am I being unreasonable or are they? I listen to you all every morning, and I feel you handle things really well and are reasonable.
Must be a new listener.
Help!
Okay, so I'm a little confused here. Is she turned off that he is refusing to talk to her because his new wife is saying, like, you're not allowed to talk to her anymore?
Yes. She feels like by this, her best friend and now her ex's wife, that... if she is going to put like this halt on any communication, that's screaming, you don't trust me, so why do I want to be friends with somebody who can't trust me with their husband?
So this one is interesting. You're not going to win this because...
you asked for this, man.
The new wife is setting up a boundary for her husband. She doesn't feel comfortable with you. He is going to respect that boundary even if he doesn't believe in it. Like, he knows nothing's going to happen between you and him. But because she is feeling insecure about it, he is going to take her side. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to be like, look, this is my new lady here. I mean, this is my team. So even if he doesn't believe in what she's saying, he's going to respect it.
I completely agree. And I feel like I can get the insult in it because they've been friends for so long. And it must be something that she either knows about herself or about you to where she would want you to stay away now and create these boundaries with her husband. But I feel like you made this bed. It kind of falls under your category of no good deed goes unpunished. You set them up and now they want you out of their life.
This is a prime example of that.
It's a prime example. Yeah. And I think you got to let it go because I don't think there's too much you can really do.
No, I would be on your side if there hadn't been a previous friendship before. To me, if he had just like gotten with some random woman and she's like, listen, I'm drawing a boundary. This makes me uncomfortable. Do I think that's a little messed up? Yeah. But the fact that like you have now lost a friend specifically because she's now with your ex-husband and she doesn't trust you, like to me, that feels like she was never a friend to begin with. Mm-hmm.
And because there was a history there between them all, if there was no history at all and the wife is just feeling insecure about another woman in their picture, then I could see more of his argument like, hey, I respect you, but this is a you thing and not a me thing. Me and this person have been nothing but friends our entire life. And if you're insecure about it, why do I have to sacrifice this friendship if this is really a you thing? There's a fine line here.
There is, but it's not just another person. Like,
yeah, what I'm saying is if it was just a friend, but yeah, there's a history here.
Well, yeah, because it's your ex. Like, it's a friend that saw you naked. Those are different kind of friends.
Did a little more than saw you naked.
Yeah. I wouldn't waste your energy on this anymore. You're not going to win here. You're not going to get either one of them back. That sucks. It hurts. But he is not going to side with you in any way, shape, or form on this thing. It's the Bird Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bird Show.
Romeo with the win. Feeling pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And you should, man.
You got a dub?
Yes, I did. And I'm richer than ever. Because, all right, so 2 months ago, I came on here, and I was telling you guys that I had this idea of wanting to start this Twitch, if you guys remember what that was when I educated you
the
all.
Twitch.
You
knew what
you're
Twitch
You're going to get
was.
On the Twitch.
Twitch. No, you didn't. I put you guys on. So I was telling you guys that I was excited because I wanted to do it, but there was this fear of starting it and doing it. And you guys were just like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Just do it. Get it on. And so I did that day, and I was just like, all right, I set up everything up. It started with my PlayStation, directly from a PlayStation, and then it slowly moved to actually getting myself a PC. I have a whole setup. I designed my whole corner and everything in my room, and I got this beautiful, like, nice little setup that I have for Twitch.
All right, so for the new virtual listener, let me give you a little bit more of some rich context to his origin story, because this is more than just starting a Twitch stream. This is a dude that's been suffering from social anxiety. He's been seeing a therapist and has been very honest about dealing with his fear of failures over and over and over again. So putting this thing up was more than just getting a couple of bucks on Twitch.
Yeah.
It was more like building some wins emotionally and mentally to help you with your mental health. So this is huge.
Yeah, for sure. It was a challenge. I mean, just starting it and then every single day of keeping up with it and going live. Hello. And every single time that, like, I'm about to go live, obviously, like, you're on camera, you know that there's this pressure on you. And so for me, that was every single time I felt like that was a challenge. And I never expected for people to, like, want to sign in and follow me mm-hmm. and all this. Like, I was just going to do it just to prove to myself, really, that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people started following me and, like, people tune in now and they watch and they sit there and play games with me because I've played with them as well. And so the other day, I check my bank account, and I see this payment. And I was not expecting it. I was just like, where is this coming from? And I looked where it was from, and it's from Twitch. And I was like, whoa, I'm getting paid?
Mr. Twitch sent you a check.
Yes.
It's crazy how hard work pays off.
So, yeah, and I knew they were running ads, but, like, it kept saying that it was going to be, like, a couple pennies here and there. But, yeah. Like, when they dropped $100 on my bank account,
okay.
I was like, say less.
Yeah.
So now it was, like, that feeling of...
You saw it through, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it felt like, oh, my God, I actually did it. Like, I... put my mind to it. I set it up and it wasn't as fearful as I thought it was going to be. And it was so much easier to get it done.
Yeah, you came on and you had established with everybody, you had a pattern of behavior and you would come up with these great ideas and even like a plan of execution, but then you just never follow through because that fear of failure was always holding you back. So when you came on with your Twitch idea, we really pushed you to be like, and Bert has said, like, what's on the other side of fear?
Nothing.
So, and you did it and you liked it. And now not only that, but that was a hot minute ago. Like, how long ago was that? A couple months ago?
About 3 months, I think.
Okay. So now for 3 months steadily, every single week, you're still firing it up Twitch and playing games and interacting with people to the point that you have enough subscribers that you can get ads. And now you're getting paid.
Rich beyond your wildest dreams.
Crazy. Crazy.
I got a question.
What are you going to do with the $100?
How much total you've made?
Total?
Yeah.
I think it was like 102.
How much of that was given to you by Rebecca?
Yeah, by the way.
On our staff. Huh? I think the majority of his payment has come from inside the house.
What?
Wait, what?
How is that?
Are you discrediting our dude?
No, but it's true. I mean, Rebecca's like my number one supporter.
She's his P1.
So 80% of his Twitch salary is funded by Rebecca because she wants to scare the hell out of him. Evidently, she can buy these things that play in his ear and startle him. She just likes to scare him.
Oh. So, yeah, I have this, like, little soundboard set up that people can pay, like, bits, which is, like, dollar amounts in their currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, like, 300 bits that people can pay, which is equals to $3. And it has different sounds that they can play. So whenever, like, I'm playing a game and it's very intense, Rebecca can play a sound that just screams at you and it just be like, ah! And so I'm concentrating and I'm just like, out of nowhere here, screaming in my ears. And I'm just like, and I panic. And I think Rebecca really enjoys scaring me. So a lot of, I would say like 80% of my paycheck came from
and you get a lot of, you get a cut off of each and every one of those.
Yeah, I think all the bits go to me, yeah.
Look, here's the thing I want to stress with you, and I'm going through this with my 15-year-old right now also, is that acknowledging little wins go a really long way for your soul, man. Yeah, it's $100, $103, or $4 after Rebecca. But it's a win. The win is that you did it and you followed it through. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in like the negatives in front of us or the things that we're slowly failing at or in small ways failing at that I keep trying to teach him, like, what were your wins during the day to build him up? And you've got him right in front of you. It's just that most people don't even recognize him. So they stay in that kind of stuck position, you know?
Yeah, no, and I think I take that with to my heart now, that every single time I get a win, I try to make sure I acknowledge it because it feels great. And then I think when you look at your entire week and you realize I got this win here, this win here, this win here, and then you realize like I had a great week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you focus on that, and I think it's helped me so much. And I think just doing it and putting yourself out there and actually getting the work done, it just, you feel great. Because you accomplished something.
Good job, bro.
Congratulations,
well done.
Bro.
Well done.
Yay.
Well
fired.
Listen, It's the Burt Show.
All right, let's talk Ed Sheeran here for just a second, because I got to spend a couple of minutes with him a few days ago, and this dude has a new album out. He's got a lot of stuff out right now.
I was going to say, he's got a little bit going on. You know, he's had a major verdict win in court, got an album, got a docuseries, was on Idol. You know, he's
so
not busy at all.
So many things going on, right? So when I was chatting with him, he said some things that really, really kind of surprised me, like what he's learned from a lot of the highs and lows from the last year, because he's had a best friend pass away on him. He's had a doctor tell him that his wife has a tumor, so he's had to work through that. So he scrapped his whole album that he had planned and totally changed it for this album. And also how he manages so much going on in his life, and he touches on the documentary also. And he's been a very, very private dude. So why the Twitch now? Why the switch, I should say? Why the switch now? Like, okay, I'm going to share my entire life with people. Ed Sheeran on The Burt Show.
Hi, I'm Ed Sheeran.
Just dancing with my eyes closed.
What have you learned, and I think you cover some of this in the documentary also that I watched, what have you learned from the last year? I mean, this was one of those epic years for you, a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
I think that, like, my life has always been so meticulously planned, and I know the gig that I'm playing in 2026 in August, you know, everything is set out. And I think it has taught me that plans can change like that, and not to be so, like, rigid. Because life is just very, very unpredictable.
It's so interesting to me because the tour kicks off in Dallas and then it's swinging through Atlanta, and there's a whole bunch of dates too, and you should go online and check out if he's coming to your city, which chances are pretty good he is. But when you're doing an album like this, it's such an interesting space because most that go through a stressful time like this can sort of move on. You have to relive those emotions and those events every night on stage.
You know, it's very different when the songs are actually out and people are connected to them. I found it very difficult playing these songs pre-album being out. It's real life stuff that has happened and is happening and I'm going through. Whereas now, like, all of these songs are connecting with people, and I will stand on stage and I'll look out and I'll sing one of them, and I'll look out in the crowd and I'll see people that those songs really matter to. And that's then what the song is about, rather than it being about the thing that happened to me. It then turns into the connection with someone else. Like, I don't stand on stage singing Perfect and think of my wife. I stand on stage and look out and see everyone connecting to that song. And that's what makes it fine to do. You know, it would be really difficult standing on stage every night being like, oh God, I'm reliving it all over again. But it's different once the album's out there.
That's so interesting to me, because I just automatically assumed that you were sort of like singing your diary every night and having to feel those emotions. And that would be impossible. It's robotic.
Yeah. I mean, there is an element to that in the here and now, but I think by the time I'm doing my first Subtract show on tour in like 2 weeks, and I think by the time that happened, the songs will just, they'll have become important to people and it will just be a different thing.
So the documentary was really interesting to me. You guys got to watch this on Disney Plus too, because you have been such a private person for so long. And here this documentary is so inside and it's showing so much vulnerability. Where was that pivot for you? Like, okay, I'm ready to share now.
I handed in the album to the record label and they thought it was a breakup album. And I was like, no, it's actually an album about loss and grief. And that was the moment I was like, I probably should give some context to this. And that was sort of the driving force to make the documentary. And I sort of see the documentary and the album going hand in hand together. Like, one informs the other and they're like a symbiotic.
Man, you got a lot going on. How do you balance it all out? Lastly, like, how do you balance it off with family?
This week has been tough. And I'm very, very excited to get to the other side of it.
I bet you're emotionally drained, man.
Yeah.
All right, Ed, I appreciate your time, man. Good luck with the album and the tour and the documentary and your family and everything else. You've always been awesome about coming on with us. So thank you, man.
Thank you so much, man.
This is the first time that I've chatted with Ed, and we've had a pretty rich history with him over the years where he's been And you wouldn't probably be able to tell just by hearing it for the first time. Dude is tired right now.
Well, yeah, because so this whole interview was videotaped via Zoom with Bert and Ed. And so we're going to have that video. We're going to share it on our socials. It'll be at thebertshow.com. But, yeah, he looked tired.
Yeah, it was the day after the verdict, man. And if you have ever gone to court before, you know how draining a period that is. And this court case has been going on for a super long time. And if you've gone through any kind of case, you know it's always sort of in the back of your mind. So when it's finally over, you feel relieved. But also the stress on him and his wife and his family and the co-writers.
All that. But you think you might have celebrated when he got that W?
Oh, hell yeah!
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Women are more complex than dudes. That's why there are way more instructions for girl code for women than there are for dudes. Dudes are, don't have sex with my mom.
One.
Or anybody on my family tree.
The whole tree.
All right, that's 1B. Anybody on the family tree.
Even grandma?
Yes. I think you're being selfish.
Yeah. Should we have the grandma? Yeah.
What would you do if you found out one of your friends slept with your grandma?
You got to get permission.
Of course.
Let grandma live.
No.
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 Yeah. Let Meemaw get some. It's been a while.
There's a lot of people out here, grandma. That man is off limits if he's my friend.
Another one for dudes, like, don't screw me over business-wise. Don't take food out of my mouth and my family's mouth.
You guys had said earlier, hands off my family, hands off of my significant other, hands off my money.
That's it. That's it. And then we can drink.
We good.
Women, a little more complicated.
Yeah. I got 15.
We started this list earlier. This morning.
And so these were hand-plucked. BuzzFeed picked the best girl codes to live by, according to this Reddit. So recently, an anonymous user posted the question, what girl code do you stick by, to the Ask Women community on Reddit? And women were quick to sound off about what rules are a must to follow to better support one another. And that's where BuzzFeed pulled the ones that like really resonated with them. So coming in the middle of the road. And this is, of course, and it hits close to home because I just had a period party where we raised money and collected period products to make period kits for women who are less fortunate and girls from low-income families.
I really thought that party was for grammar. Like, nobody's using periods anymore or commas. And I thought that was really your platform, but I was totally off base on
it. I'm having my colon party next. We're collecting some different items there. You might have some more people at yours than mine. But on this list of girl code, always give a girl in need a tampon, even if they're your worst enemy. If I have one and you need it, it is yours.
No, I've seen this, I think, in movies before. Can you guys, underneath the bathroom stall, like, ask the woman next to you if she's got, like, an extra tampon?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty common?
Yeah. But if you're my worst enemy, you're not getting one.
No?
I'm not giving you one. No,
savage.
Absolutely not. I owe you nothing, and I'm not giving you money out of my pocket to plug it up.
Not even one that you're currently using?
Ew, no. She's going to steal my DNA and replicate me just to, like, kill me because we're enemies.
What enemies do you have? Who do you know this replicating
your DNA?
Sometimes I want the words to stop at my mouth, and they just got a lot of momentum.
Okay. Let's stay in the bathroom. Uplift women in the bathroom, be it helping a total stranger glue on their falsies and then wishing them a fabulous evening, fetching the overturned girly some water, or giving the heartbroken chick a genuine compliment. I'm not going to say the last part, and a cig, because smoking is bad for you. But, yes, if you see somebody in the bathroom, like, there's been many a time when, especially when you're at the club or something, and there will be, like, a little meltdown in the bathroom, and then a gaggle of girls will gather around to try to lift her up.
Okay. A lot goes on in the bathroom.
Strangers?
Yes. A lot. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Strangers
are
like, oh, girl, you're worth it.
Yeah.
No, you're worth, queen, even though you don't know anything about her at all.
Yes.
Well, maybe she's not.
Yeah, how do you know she worked?
What? How do you know that this stranger is right?
You know what? I'm going to err on the side of worth it, okay?
Oh, no.
I mean, your whole vibe right now is like, just kick them while they're down.
You're the one that won't even give them a tampon.
Worst enemy. Worst enemy.
I'd rather you have toxic shock syndrome.
That's really rude. That's a very dangerous thing.
That's very dangerous.
That has a warning label.
For a reason. All right, if a dude is acting uncomfortable, crazy, or aggressive around a woman who's alone or a service worker, I always stand nearby to see if they need me to help get them out of the sitch or be the backup and pretend I'm their friend that knows about their boyfriend, etc.
Have y'all done this before?
Absolutely. You stand up, you make sure like they're good, you strike up a conversation, you make sure that girl's okay.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have at a gas station late at night, I always wait till the other only girl there leaves.
I've actually never done this.
I haven't either.
Now that I know that it's a thing, I'm going to be more cognizant about it, though.
There are never enough hands. Reach out to the help when you see a woman who is overwhelmed in any way. It's always good to invite good karma back to you. And so in this instance, because the thing that popped in my head, I remember standing in a long line at the airport and there was a mom with twins and she seemed like she was, you know, had a lot on her plate. So I just entertained the kids for a little bit so she could like kind of get her bags together and get up to the counter. And so I just started playing some games with the kids. So it's just like one of those little things, you know, when you can offer assistance or a hand, you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not enough pockets in our clothes. We need
hands. The Bert Show. As I was just telling Abby in studio, as the words were coming out of my mouth, now I'm wondering if it's ethical or not.
Okay.
I'm kind of borrowing a neighbor's cat because I don't want the commitment of owning one.
They're not much commitment. As somebody who owns a cat and loves the fact that she's kind of like a roommate who just sort of eats like this is the food that I leave out for her. It's very low maintenance.
Like how long can she go without you?
The longest I've left her is probably about 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
She's obsessed with me, so I feel a little guilty if I leave her for too long.
Yeah.
But I think I could probably go a week.
Really?
I don't mm-hmm. dislike cats. I just like dogs more.
Okay.
They're codependent. I like that. Makes me feel important.
You need to feel needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, my emotional unavailability is perfect for this because a dog will get too close to me. I'll be like, this is a lot.
Right.
This feels like a lot of commitment.
And I've always said, like, cats, like, they will rub up on you and love on you when they want to, but then when you turn your back, if they could, they would flip you off. Right?
Absolutely not. My cat is obsessed with me.
You don't know that. As soon as you turn your back, she's like,
Yeah, but at least she makes me think that she's obsessed with me.
There you go.
So we have, and again, this is the first time I haven't had a pet in 25 years. So this cat came by last night, and I'm like, oh, the cute cat, even though I don't really like cats, at least it's something. So
better than nothing.
We're outside in the backyard playing some wiffle ball, and this cat struts through and is like, hey, what's up, you guys? So I'm like, oh, you're kind of cool. So I went upstairs and I gave it some salmon. And the cat is like, oh, you cool? And I'm like, you're cool too. So now I'm wondering, I'm pretty sure the cat will keep coming around. But is that unethical to sort of, I'm renting this cat.
You're luring.
I'm luring the cat. It's not coming in my house, but it's hanging out, and I'm borrowing the cat.
I mean, a little bit of salmon, and you're going to be attracting a lot of different things, but that cat will be back.
Cassie was just telling us that she used to leave out food for stray cats, and that went horribly wrong.
Yeah, I grew up with cats, and so we had one come out around our yard, and I love them. So we got some cat food for it because it was showing up so much. We left it out on the... like our little front porch, and on our Ring camera we saw this black cat, we call him Shadow, come up and eat the food. And then a little later we got a notification, we're like, damn, Shadow, poor thing, is real hungry, giant rat. And then we got another notification later that night and we're like, what is going on, giant possum.
Oh!
And then a raccoon all eating this food. It looks like the animals got bigger and bigger and bigger, and that was the last time we fed that stray cat.
Alright, so should she give this guy another chance, even though things didn't really quite work out the first time? I believe in the intimate part of their relationship. I think I have that right.
Dear Bird Show, I found your show a few years ago, and I listen to you guys every morning before going into work, and sometimes while I clean my house. Love you guys. I have a dilemma. I found the perfect man, or so I thought. This man checks almost every box. Almost.
Dun, dun, dun.
Before going on our first date.
I don't think that's the proper place for that sound effect.
Oh, sorry. Whatever. Just let's move on.
That's a suspenseful one, like when something plot twists.
Well, almost is very suspenseful. What's the almost?
I know you got another one in you, Abby. Come on, you ready? We're going to do this again. You ready? This man checks almost every box.
Almost.
Da-da-da. Is that more ominous?
A little more. That one was better. It was more fitting for the insertion of the email.
I can do the Jaws theme song next.
I don't think any of them are appropriate.
Yeah. Da-da, da-da.
I think we should just move on.
Okay, let's go.
Before going on our first date, we met on Facebook and exchanged numbers. We had hour-long conversations on the phone about life, and things got really deep with us as far as an emotional connection.
Again, I think you guys are a little premature with your dun-duns.
A little aggressive, too. I was able to really open up and be vulnerable, and that doesn't happen often for me. The conversations were so easy, and it's like I found my best friend.
Oh, you remember when we had the intern who could play a violin, and she came in here and, like, played violin music along with our emails?
No.
You don't?
You don't remember that?
Intern Darian. She was, like, getting a PhD.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
She's lovely.
You don't remember, do you?
I do.
Okay.
So you snorted.
It took us all 2 minutes before the end of the show to wake up. You guys have really been gypped today.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
Oh, man. So fast forward a week, we go on this perfect first date. He was even better looking in person. The physical attraction was certainly there. When we walked inside and were seated, he had them set the table with flowers, rose petals, and candles. It was super romantic, and we had an amazing time.
It's like honeymoon, man.
Right.
This guy's going all in.
It was like I've known him for a long time, and there wasn't an awkward silence in the room. We head back to his place to play guitar.
What?
Play guitar.
They actually play guitar. They're actually playing guitar. I did the same thing when I read it the first time.
So we usually say play piano when we know we have kids listening.
She explains it.
And then somebody else played the bongo today. We got too many instruments.
We headed back to play guitar and sing because we share a love for music.
Okay.
But then we did the deed.
Dun, dun, dun!
That's experience right there.
Catch me in 12 years, that'll be me.
Or as you like to call it, piano playing. That's where things went downhill.
Wah, wah.
You're learning.
Learning so much. This is great.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the education.
It is my pleasure. There's a reason why I've never won a Gracie.
Physically, chemistry is a very important box for me. It was easily the worst experience for me.
Yeah.
I'm so torn because I feel like giving it one chance is harsh. I don't want to lose the possible love of my life because we aren't compatible in the bedroom. But I also find this to be important to me. Should I give him another chance at this?
Yes.
Is it shallow to stop dating someone because the sex wasn't good? Has anyone ever had horrible sex the first time and then it got better with time? Please help me.
I've told you the story. I have shared it on here. And it wasn't horrible. It was just off. And that was the first time my husband and I were ever intimate with each other when we first started dating. Remember, I accidentally headbutted him and he got a bloody nose.
That's right. Yeah. And didn't he have to climb over like 3 loads of laundry to get to your bed?
Hey, no, that was not at my house. We did it at his house in the Naughty Pine Room, okay?
Okay. What is the Naughty Pine Room?
So Naughty Pine is like a type of wood and it's got a bunch of knots in it. So it's Knotty. Naughty Pine.
It's not a sex move, Abby.
I was picturing a lot of like scandalous.
Yeah, so was I.
I don't want to tell you.
Scandalous pine.
No.
Or pine needles that had worked their way into the room.
Okay. I almost wish you didn't explain it.
I know. So it was, but it did not, because that first kiss was so amazing that first time we were intimate did not live up to the expectations, but we were both just so nervous and awkward about it that the second time knocked it out of the park.
Well, awkward is different than the worst I've ever had in my life, which is what she's saying. So can you bounce back from the worst? I mean, can you bounce back from that? The worst?
I'd give it a second bounce.
I agree. Yeah, give it a couple bounces before you bounce.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
A second bounce, but if it's horrible the second time too, don't like. That's it.
Don't waste any more bounces.
Done. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like this is just her way of saying she's had just amazing partners in the past, and maybe this guy was just average, and it just didn't live up to the amazing partners.
Well, you can find out one more time, and then that's it. That's it. Yeah. Time is our most precious commodity, right? You don't got time for that.
Facts.
It's the Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.